like to survey the audience and see who is here. I'm glad you're here. I'm going to do a little interfering today. I'm going to talk about some things that maybe I'd rather not talk about. But I'm going to talk about them. The clothing of a Christian. I'm going to talk about the clothing of a Christian. The Bible gives instruction on all aspects of living. Our work, our family life, our speech, our relationship to the government as a citizen, and many more. It is not surprising that it offers guidance in clothing as well. The first point I want to make, and this cannot be denied, clothing is significant. What you wear is significant. In Proverbs 7, verse 10, Solomon describes one who has the attire of a harlot. The attire of a harlot. The word "with" is not in the original. "Behold, there met him a woman, the attire of a harlot." The "with" is not there. "There met him a woman, the attire of a harlot." The idea, and this is not me, pulpit commentary, I think is right. The idea, she is nothing but a piece of dress. What you need to do is you need to be careful that you're not just wearing a piece of cloth. You're not just a piece of dress. The thing that catches the fool's eye is her dress. He is therefore not looking at her character, her personality. She is temptation wearing a dress. Temptation. Wearing a dress. She planned it that way. I think sometimes a woman will dress and not realize what she's doing. Sometimes she doesn't consciously plan it that way, but it amounts to the same thing. And it has the same effect. Okay? It has the same effect. Why would a woman want to make a shell of herself with no substance inside but sin and destruction? Why? She is dressed to call attention to herself by the nature of her clothing, by the revealing aspect that it has. Back in Genesis 34, Tamar's clothing convinced Judah that she was a Kadeshah, a religious harlot that committed ritual fornication with the worshippers of Baal and Asherah. She deliberately planned it that way to trick Judah into coming in unto her. So he thought, it's not a good thing. He thought she was a religious prostitute. That's not saying anything good about Judah either. In Isaiah 3, the garments of the women of Judah marked them as vain, empty-headed women, with no concern for anything but their outer layer. The Bible teaches emphatically that our than our clothes tell people things about us. Note the dress of the harlot. And she's called a harlot in Revelation 17:4. The purple, the scarlet, decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. She was making a display of gaudy wealth. That was the picture of the harlot in Revelation 17:14. In 1 Timothy 2, verses 9 and 10, Paul says that women are to adorn themselves with modest apparel, with shamefastness and sobriety, not with braided hair and gold or pearls or costly raiment, but which becometh women professing godliness. He hasn't told us what this adornment is yet, but he's making an important point. What would one expect of a woman who professes to care about God? What would she demonstrate in her attire? It would be through good works. That's to be the emphasis. Through good works. That's the way she is to make her impression. Through her conduct, through her life. In 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, Peter echoes the statement of Paul that the emphasis in displaying oneself should not be hair arrangement or wearing jewels of gold and silver or putting on of apparel. In some statements, it almost makes the point, let it not be. That doesn't mean there is no arrangement that can be made. There is some arrangement that can be made. But it needs to be a modest arrangement. That's God saying that. It needs to be a modest arrangement. Let it be the hidden man of the heart, which is in the sight of God of great price. All of us need to note that. I know that I can say that men need to be modest too. But especially, I think in the whole Bible, the emphasis is on the woman needs to be modest. Because the whole Bible says that the man finds the woman attractive. And so if the woman puts out the wrong message, it's going to affect the man. It might provoke him to lust. You need to be careful about that, women. You need to be very careful about that. Let it be the hidden man of the heart. Which, this is a very significant thing. Which is in the sight of God of great price. So I want to appeal to you women. To realize that the hidden man of the heart is in the sight of God of great price. What we wear or don't wear can provoke lust. One of the saddest stories in the Bible, to me, is David and Bathsheba. And David did not start out wanting to lust after Bathsheba. I don't know the particular circumstances that led up to it. I don't want to make assumptions that I cannot justify or prove. The idea is he's on the rooftop looking. And he caught sight of a woman bathing. And so we can say, well, maybe this, well, maybe that. I'm not into the maybes. So I take the point, and he looked, and he saw that woman taking a bath. Since she was taking a bath, she was not clothed are not clothed very well, at least. And when he saw her, you can't always predict the thing you're going to see unless you're a place where it's calculated to be the thing that you should not see. But there's no evidence that that was the case. So when he saw her, and he caught sight of her, and he said, oh, that's right then, he should have stopped the process. Absolutely stopped the process right then and turned away and put it out of his mind. You women need to help your young girls to understand the power that they had to tempt and to put temptation before a man. Do you want your daughter to do that? You shouldn't want your daughter to do that. Because when David saw her, he did not put her out of his mind. He kept on, and the chain of sin went link by link by link by link until it resulted in the killing of one of his old supporters, Uriah the Hittite. And David did everything, deceit, and yet he was such a good man, but he used deceit, trickery. And the fact he did it, such a good man, he did it. We need to understand that any of us can do that. And when we do it, it is wrong for you to provoke the lust, and it is wrong for a man to look and lust after you. Either one, it's wrong. It's sinful. And we will pay for it. And that story about David and Bathsheba means that oftentimes you pay for it in this life as well. And maybe in eternity as well. Oh, my brothers and sisters, we need to be careful. In the garden, Adam and Eve were totally without clothing. Genesis 2:25, 3:7, 10 and 11. But when sin entered the picture, God made them garments. God made them garments. Adam and Eve made themselves aprons of fig leaves. I've never tried making an apron of fig leaves, but I don't think I'd get very far with it. I don't think it'd be a very good apron, do you? God did not think so either. Because what he did was he took animal skins and made them clothes out of those animal skins. So here's the idea. They made an effort to cover themselves. God said that is not adequate. That's what God said. Though, so people can say, I'm going to cover myself. And God says, no, that is not adequate. There are standards of dress. So God said, no, that's not going to be sufficient. So he made clothes, coats of skin, and clothed them. Now, I think the key to this matter is passages such as Leviticus 18 and 20. So I want to talk about this a little bit. At least 16 times in Leviticus 18, God says, do not uncover their nakedness. What does uncover their nakedness mean? doesn't mean to uncover their arm. No, it doesn't mean their arm. In the context, the subject is marriage. And in these two chapters, limits are placed on whom one can marry. The point of the restriction is the sexual activity that is a part of marriage. This sexual activity involves an uncovering of the sexual organs. And that is the thing under consideration. That is the thing under consideration. Another significant passage is Exodus 28 and verse 42. In this passage, linen breeches were to be made for the priests to cover the flesh of their nakedness. What was the extent of these linen breeches? From the loins to the thigh. Did I make that up? No. That's in the Bible. They covered the hips and the upper part of the legs. I realized that these breeches were worn under a robe or a tunic. That God had reasons for wanting the nakedness of the priest covered so that when they went up to the altar, they would not be exposed. That was the point. The principle that I learned from these verses is that the loins are a part of the body called nakedness. And God intended that such nakedness be covered. There's a range of styles and lengths which cannot necessarily be branded as immodest. No one style is legislated. No length as such is legislated. This factor adds to the difficulty of the subject. To avoid displaying nakedness, as far as the facts are concerned, this is a very simple matter. Problem is getting people to do what is right rather than what they want to do. I bid you listen carefully to this. Your soul may depend on it. When clothing is so tight that it shows clearly the underlying form, it is showing nakedness to the person that beholds. When the priest wore their linen breeches that covered from thigh to waist, that was underneath the tunic they wore. So that was not the only thing they wore. How would God have regarded them if they had not worn the tunic? See? How would God have regarded them if they had just done without a tunic? God did not approve of it. Where does that leave these people who wear the very briefest of swimsuits? You know, I wasn't always reared in the circumstance that I have been in most of my life. I knew what modesty and immodesty was. I didn't have any question about it. And part of that was I didn't pay much attention to it. But when you begin to pay attention, You have to make a decision about your own dress. Many of the shorts that today are being worn are about the size of those that the priest wore, and they wore them under a robe. When a dress is split on the front or on the sides, sides of the split are going to fall off. One on one side of the knee, the other on the other side of the knee. And it won't be modest. It won't be modest. Now you have to deal with that. Are you going to dress modestly or not modestly? Are you going to let your daughters dress modestly or not? Teach them. Teach them. If the dress is split too high, then it doesn't matter whether it's split is. It's going to expose a great deal of the body. If a dress does not cover the knees when a woman sits down, she will expose what the Bible calls her nakedness. That's the way it is. And I wanted to bring this to your attention. It is important. I've preached on this many times over the years with varying results. But I try to remind people of the truth. And I'm not determining the truth. I've referred to things that where the Bible talks about nakedness and what it is and how to deal with it. And I hope you will pay attention. And I hope you will obey what the Bible says about it. The only occasions when men can cover than can uncover the nakedness of a woman with God's approval is in the marriage relationship. This is the only time that a man or woman can display their nakedness to others. Only time. Do so under any other circumstances is to do what God does not. What God does not approve. It provokes lust in someone who has no right to you. So you need to understand that. All of us need to understand that. It is to emphasize the carnal rather than the spiritual in your dealings with others. And I hope you understand. And this matters to me. I haven't harped on this over the years, but I have preached on it. So I'm preaching on it now so that you can understand and know what I'm talking about. Sometimes we pity-pat around and don't say what the truth is. I want you to know what the truth is. From the Word of God. So I bid you listen and think about this. I know it's not easy. Sometimes it involves a style that you like and it's not a proper style. What you need to do? Don't wear that style. I know it. Fashion. Fashion dictates everything. We must not let fashion dictate to us our styles of dress. Now, are you going to pay attention? Are you going to do anything about this? I hope you will. I hope you will for your soul's sake and for the souls of others. The men look at you. Are you going to be modest or not? So, I hope you will. So, I hope that this lesson has been specific enough and not too much. Are you a Christian? If you are a Christian, then wonderful. Behave as a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you need to believe in the Lord. Confess your sin. Confess your faith. And be baptized to have your sins forgiven. If you've not been faithful as a Christian, you need to repent and pray that the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. If you're subject to the invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.